Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're with SBS Spice.
Just Rain, the Snapchat dog filter, and giving shout-outs on Instagram. If this sounds familiar to you, welcome. You're at the right place. This is the SBS Spice podcast. I'm Suhaila.
And this is Dilpreet.
The social media ban that's looming over under 16s is not that far away from us. December 10th is the date that's been set. And there's a lot of panic, a lot of questions, and a lot of just what is happening.
Why don't you run us through what is happening?
This came into effect last year because Australia has online safety laws that come under the Online Safety Act of 2021. In late 2024, the Online Safety Amendment, so the Social Media Minimum Age Bill, came into Parliament with discussion around whether or not under 16s should have access to social media. Mm. Now, that bill was passed through Parliament, and the Albanese government pushed it forward after being elected again earlier this year. And now we are almost at December 10th, and it's really coming into effect. It's a world first ban, but we use ban quite loosely here. It essentially will prevent under 16s from holding a social media account of their own. It doesn't necessarily mean that people under 16 won't be able to use social media, but any accounts made by under 16s will no longer be able to be used.
Wait, what did you just say?
They cannot make a social media account, but they can still use social media.
What?
So let's take YouTube, for example.
Yeah.
YouTube is a very accessible resource and is used in classrooms very regularly. What that means is YouTube can still be used by under 16s, but they just won't have an account on YouTube. And that just means they will be using just the general working page of YouTube. But what this limits under 16s from is creating an algorithm for themselves and having full access to a platform like YouTube. Social media in itself outside of YouTube, for example, Instagram, X, Facebook, all these these larger platforms that rely on social connection and interaction, they already limit you from not using them without an account. And now under 16s will no longer be allowed to make an account at all. So let's say you have the loopholes of using your parents' account, a friend's account that's over 16, that kind of stuff. That still will happen. But I guess it's more so preventing under 16s from having access to these accounts by no longer allowing them from making them. So prevention tactics such as AI facial age estimation, which will use AI to, I guess, scan your face and see how old you are. That will be one method that platforms will be able to use. Using age-verified government documents. So if someone wants to make a social media account, they have to supply these government documents to verify their age, whether it's a passport, birth certificate, whatever. And other things like just data tracking of a user and seeing, like, is their, you know, online activity consistent with a 16-year-old. Those are the kind of three methods that are being used to now prevent under 16s from using social media.
So you can no longer just lie about your age and make an account.
Who does that sound like?
Wait, what? No, I totally told them I was 11 when making Facebook.
Yeah, I was born in 1956.
Yeah, I loved doing that.
For real?
I loved scrolling to the 50s and be like, oh, so even if, let's say, a 27-year-old wants to make a Facebook account, they have to verify their age.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. There are measures like that already in place for Meta. I think if you want to log back into an account that has been logged out, they already ask for government documents with stuff like that to verify.
I might have given Meta my soul, but I've never given Meta my passport.
Right?
Is that real?
In fact, like, I will do everything before I do that, you know? But that has already been
placed. Late for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Like, we've been on the internet for so long.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, like, what is your personal opinion on this? Like, do you think this is a good idea?
As someone who grew up with social media from, like, the age of 13, so this was 2011 onwards, I honestly think it is a good idea. Think about how social media was back in the 2010s. It is completely different to how it is today.
I know, we were lucky. We were definitely on the luckier side of the internet.
100%. Yeah. And it was such an innocent place. We weren't really trying to expand ourselves too much, like doing the star fingers, like and just being really, I guess, carefree about what we were posting back then. I am 100% sure. I think I tried to Google search my old Instagram account and all the photos that I've actually deleted are still there.
Yeah.
But I was just posting random stuff. Like, yeah. I was giving my friends shout outs and, you know, just posting really stupid pictures of myself with face paint and stuff. I don't think kids today are doing that kind of stuff on the internet, though.
Oh my God, do we sound like our parents? Like, we knew what we were doing, but you don't?
Yeah.
And I also feel like, I don't know, I feel slightly bad because we got the internet and it helped us shape so many aspects of our lives. Yeah. And then for the younger kids now, we're sort of making these really big decisions for them, and they all kind of live on the internet. It's there's going to be a huge hole in their lives.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the rationale, I really do, but it's almost like, oh, we got it, so, you know, we don't kind of feel the pain of the absence of it.
No. In fact, a lot of people have been like, this will not largely affect those who already use social media.
I think that's a good question. Like, is this going to work?
Yeah. I feel like there's, you can call them like foolproof measures, like submitting government documents, but people are going to find their way around it. And let's say...
Which is like, does that make the problem worse?
Exactly. It's just like, if you restrict someone from getting something, they're still going to find their way to it. But I also think it does take something as drastic as this to have a reality check. What about you? What do you think, Dilpreet?
I feel like... 16, I don't know, 14 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Under 14 maybe?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if a 15 or 16-year-old needs to be told by the government if they can have Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is coming from. There must be some traumatic childhood story that is indicating this sort of like inclination, but I don't know. There's something that feels off to me about telling a 16-year-old whether they can have Facebook or not.
And we'll be completely transparent with you. I don't know the rationale behind why 16 was chosen as the age.
It's just the legal ages that we usually have, right?
Well, it's like, the age of consent in Australia.
Yeah,
18 is the age for voting.
Yeah.
16 is the age you can get a license.
I think that's it.
I think they've just gone with what they think is already safe.
Standard ages otherwise. Standard legal ages for other skills in your life, like driving or... I think they've just taken that. But it just feels odd.
Yeah.
Like when I was 16 and if I was like legally told that I couldn't have social media, I would be a bit pissed.
Yeah. To all the 16-year-olds who are pissed.
I low-key get it.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You're like not really a child.
Yeah.
If you can consent to sex,
mm-hmm.
why can't you consent to having an Instagram account? I don't know. So I totally get like kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm like 31 and a 16-year-old is a kid, but at the same time, I genuinely don't think so. I think they do have a flourishing life of their own. I do find them childish because they are so much younger than me, but I don't think that they're children, quote unquote. I think they are starting to build a life of their own. They have some mental thoughts, you know, and I kind of refuse to believe that social media is somehow so bad that a 16-year-old needs permission. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive.
Then I'll pose this question to you. Is it just the responsibility of parents that hasn't been taken seriously enough by them that now it requires government intervention? Because I am noticing there's a lot of kids who are starting to get devices maybe around age 8 or 9. I did not get my first phone until I was maybe like 13 and 14. And at that point, I barely used it. It was a really old Samsung Galaxy S2 that just functioned.
I had a Motorola.
What is that?
What? Hello, Moto.
No. Please explain.
Motorola were these flip phones. That's usually what you got as your first phone.
Really?
Yeah. And when you opened it or when it first started, it would say something like, hello, Moto.
Wow.
It was great. But yeah, carry on. Sorry.
Did it come in different colors?
Yeah, of course.
What color did you have?
Pinkish, silverish, something like that.
I love it.
It kind of looked like the Japanese phone that Farhan Akhtar gives Hrithik Roshan in ZMD.
Mushy.
Yeah, it kind of looked like that.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
No, I love that. Mine was just like my mom's old phone. And I just needed it to just call her and, you know, be like, when are you picking me up from school? Like
so
that.
Sweet.
Yeah. And my background was Ranveer Singh, which we will get into later.
Wow.
But no one's surprised about that. And no. It was a very Galaxy-like phone case. So definitely just like a starter kit in terms of introducing what technology was. And I was like 14, but I'm seeing kids are getting iPads, like tablets, iPhones, whatever, like very young, like
absolutely
8, 9. And I don't know what that exposure is like. Like, I don't know what they're doing on those phones necessarily. But it does mean that their digital literacy has to evolve with that as well. And I don't know if that is. I don't know if kids are teaching them how to be, you know, online safe at younger ages. And like, if parents are also taking that responsibility on. Yeah.
Yeah. When are we banning parents for using their kids as content?
That is so true.
Why are we banning social media from kids?
Yeah.
They're adults. And we know, Suhaila and I talk about this a lot, so many parents will use their really young kids, expose them to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, making money off of their content, making money off of their naivety, making money off of their sibling relationships and fights and rivalries, getting richer by the day. When are we banning them?
Family vloggers.
I have a huge problem with them.
They need like a full clear out. Like, just let's see what is actually happening there. Because a lot of like exploitation of young children, their digital footprint is probably already ruined before they even get their first phone.
Absolutely.
By their parents.
So an under 16 cannot have an Instagram, but can an under 16 be on Instagram through their mother and father making money for them?
That's such a good question. I mean, it feels
banded.
Icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always been a little bit skeptical of these drastic measures because I don't know if they ever do the work that they were intended to. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a banded solution. People are, I don't know if it protects the kids. I'm going to put it that way.
Mm-hmm. But I do still stand by my like deliberation of saying that I think it, you know, as much as it is a band-aid solution, I think it only takes something as drastic as that. Like, I don't know if you had these kind of scandals back when you were in high school. I graduated in 2020, and by then we had people you know already posting pornographic content of their classmates and just sharing
that. And we might not have had Instagram to put them on, but
Snapchat was a place because that was just like, as soon as it's up, you see it, but then it's gone. Like, what's the evidence there? And just like, you know, online cyberbullying was a big deal as well. Yeah. But I think back then we nipped it at the bud. You know, as soon as something happened, the school would intervene. But I mean, is it just become so unruly now that even school and those kind of institutions that are meant to protect you can't anymore?
You're listening to SBS Spice. Find what's making South Asians tick or ick with Suhaila and Dilpreet on the SBS Spice podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know of some of the reasons that have been given for this ban?
It's all to do with online safety.
I
can look it up right now.
Should we?
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm interested in understanding why the proposal.
Because it seems like a lot of people feel blindsided. But
yes,
you know, why is there a social media ban? Why? What has prompted this? And it seems like it has been something discussed by the government for a while. Oh, okay. So this makes a lot of sense. According to this BBC article, take from it what you want. But the objective is just here to protect under 16s from harmful content and other risks such as cyberbullying and grooming. Yeah.
Right.
And to protect the mental health and well-being of young Australians.
I'm interested to see its impact. Like, I want to be in this studio next year, 1 year from this ban, and like hear from people who haven't had any social media ever or, you know, were affected by this ban. Let's say they were 15 and they had to live without social media for another year until they turn 16 and, you know, have it again. Like, I do want to see it play out. I am invested and interested. Mm-hmm. But I am skeptical as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a big change.
It's too big, I think, is why I'm unable to sort of wrap my head around it. Like, we're really doing this. Wow.
How many loopholes are we going to get now?
Many.
And there's obviously going to be those platforms that crop up that are targeted at under 16s, and they'll say that, you know, they are protecting young children and from using the internet, but...
People who don't have friends, right? But maybe this will force them to make actual friends, real friends.
We're just forcing kids to touch grass. Is that what it is?
That's what's happening. We're forcing them to make friends, to touch grass. Smoke less grass, touch more grass.
I don't know who under 16 is smoking grass.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. No one under 16 is smoking grass.
But I think for everyone above the age, yeah, wise words still preach.
I think also at the same time, you know, of course, there might be like a black market for Instagram accounts, like people selling Instagram accounts.
Yes.
You pay them like a subscription fee to have an Instagram account. Like, we don't know. We don't know because it's social media we're talking about. We wake up, we are on it.
Yeah.
We're on it in our bathroom breaks. We're on it at lunch. We're on it before bed. We're on it way more than we think we're on it. Mm-hmm. And for it to be completely stripped away from your life, there are going to be huge impacts. I think people might really try their hardest and do some really bad stuff to get an account.
Mm.
It's drugs, right? Like, Instagram is like drugs. We call it an addiction,
right? It's a phone addiction. It's a social media addiction.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. Your brain chemistry changes because your entire life revolves around, like, you know, social media and people's perception of you online and what you're doing online and that kind of stuff. So,
oh yeah, let's talk about perception a bit more. Maybe we can talk about women a bit more here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of young women looking at, you know, this, you will never have that kind of beauty, that kind of wealth, but you're constantly looking at it online. Mm-hmm. It would really impact your mental health and your perception in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a good thing to not see it so often on your phones.
I mean, body shaming is also fueled by, you know, comments online and that kind of stuff. So it will protect people from that aspect. But it's also like the unachievable body standards, the unrealistic body standards that we're so used to seeing and has become such a norm will no longer, you know, be exposed to these young girls and these young people who may be, like, you know, having some body dysmorphia and not really understanding how their body is changing and growing. It's such puberty.
Yeah.
Hits at that age and you're like going through so much development and change that obviously it's going to impact how you see your body. Mm. So I think that is like one upside.
At the same time, though, I feel like a lot of younger women might look to social media to share their feelings, to hear from other women that they might not have that space to do at home. They might not have that kind of relationship with women in their actual lives, right? And I know I sound like, you know, one of those, but for some people really can be community. And it will never, ever match real life friendship. Like, I've always been an advocate for that. But I think when you're really young, you don't know that. You're just finding some community no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. It takes years for you to understand that online is just online. And it's, you know, quote unquote fake, and that you need to have real relationships in your life. But that wisdom sort of comes with age.
Yeah.
Like, a 14-year-old doesn't know that.
You can't substitute real friends for the ones that you have on the internet, because who knows who they are? Who knows who they really are?
It does say groomings as well, right?
Yes, the reason, of course.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think community is a huge thing online. People find their place online. People find people who think like them online.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, you argue that's a good or bad thing, I think it still will leave a huge void for some young people, especially who are struggling to find their identity and need to have some sort of an anchor, and that could have been social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
let's predict three positive outcomes and three negative outcomes.
Okay.
Okay, what's your number one positive outcome about this?
I think the social skills of young people will improve, and not just amongst themselves, but maybe like with like older people and like sitting down and storytelling in person, getting more time to focus on like who you are as a person offline.
Yeah.
I think that might be a big big positive thing.
Number two.
I think just like a rise in like after school sports and like seeing more young people participate in like other areas of their life, whether that's like sports, arts, like athletics, like just getting a part-time job could be another thing. A lot of people my age.
I loved how you said job.
A job.
Work.
Yeah. Start working. If you're not going to be online 14 hits, get a job. I mean, like, I don't know if children still have that pressure, but I think they can at least allocate more of their energy to doing better
sure.
in those kinds of avenues.
Last one.
I think there might be like a culture shift on what we appreciate as young people.
Nice.
So one thing I would like to talk about is like an uptake in reading physical books. I'm noticing more young people are reading physical books again. And that's such a crazy thing to say. It's like we put down a book once and, you know, never realize when we're going to pick it up again. I think I'm seeing more people around me, and I'm not sure if this applies to under 16s, but definitely getting to a good book and like spending time not binging a television series, not like catching up with who you're subscribing on YouTube and like, you know, who's going on live on Instagram, whatever. Like just a culture shift in like what people are appreciating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having more young people like have their voice in places like, you know, acting and singing and like writing and that kind of stuff. So that's another thing I can see happening.
Okay. Three positive outcomes I see from this.
Why are you buffering?
No, I'm so jet lagged.
Do you have any positives?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I mean, yes. 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 Okay. I think number one, we need to sort of dissolve this online persona and this online identity that I think a lot of young kids are attached to. And they're attached to who they are online than they will ever be to who they are offline. Mm-hmm. So a better sense of self. Mm-hmm. If it's successful. Number two, maybe better idea of beauty and values and what actually matters in life. Because whatever we see online is so vague.
Manufactured.
Abstract, manufactured, produced, but looks effortless. But there is so much effort behind it at all times.
And also with AI.
Yes, also with AI.
And like how AI content is being produced on like a mass level. But also like what kinds of people do you see in those AI videos? It's just like very like the typical like blonde, blue-eyed girls who are like making jelly beds. I don't know what side of TikTok you're on, but I'm on that one. But yeah, like all this information feeds into what we consider like, you know, the standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so also for young men as well, like what body positivity is like for young men.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I do think a better sense of self, better sense of beauty, better sense of, you know, values. Mm-hmm. Third positive thing I see coming from this is perhaps, a rise in real relationships, not, you know, like actual relationships. Like maybe people will be forced to talk to the person sitting right next to them. Mm-hmm. People will understand how to make friends, because this has been my biggest feedback that I keep giving Sohaila. I don't think young people know how to make friends.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know. They know that it's a skill.
Yeah.
Like, it is a life skill to make a friend.
A skill that requires effort.
Yes.
It doesn't require just liking someone's post and, like, you know, just following them back. Like, I think it requires a conversation where you...
Yes.
It's not small talk. You actually figure out who the other person is and connect.
Multiple conversations, regular conversations, checking in, understanding the person's likes, dislikes, preferences, nuances, their opinions, what makes them who they are. You know, like... really getting to know someone. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that people look at it as a skill anymore. Mm-hmm. And young people haven't seen that skill being practiced in front of them. So how will they know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe they'll be forced to make friends, and I'm here for it.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Three negatives or 30.
I think the main one that comes to mind is like obviously using other apps that aren't as regulated. I think just like kids having a sense of loss and a void that they feel. And like, how do you replace that? What do you replace that with? How do you slow down the intake of information and content and then replace it with something that's meaningful? I don't know how that's going to happen. It's not even a con. It's just like, I have a lot of questions. And my final thing is like, you know, the internet was so fun.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, people find creative avenues, because I know the internet can be a very fulfilling and like nourishing place for creatives, creating video content, creating like, you know, small businesses that start by kids online. That's a cool thing as well. So I don't know how, if kids will feel motivated that there is a place for them to start flourishing again and pick up those kinds of things. Because social media is a huge thing for businesses. So yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah.
What are your three cons?
Three cons. Number one, I think it, as you said, you know, it might give rise to other more unregulated apps. And, you know, are we creating another problem by trying to solve one? Number two, I don't know how it'll work. I just find it to be, I'm looking at it as a bit of a band-aid solution if not done well. So I'm curious to see what happens, but I think the con of that would be it might just not land. You know, I think there'll be a lot of under 16-year-olds who'll still have access to Instagram or Facebook because we're unable to sort of.
Yeah. That's such an interesting point as well. Sorry, I'll let you get back to that. But I then want to ask, if the government is implementing this as a band-aid solution, which it is, what's the alternative that they've provided? Like, where's the funding for community projects and like, you know, having libraries that kids can go to and like having more outreach programs and like also mental health support services, because a lot of people find that their safe space is online. So if you're going to do something as drastic as this, and as I mean, like it's not that far, like it's in one week and I feel like I haven't heard any buzz about what is on offer for young kids. You are taking away something. I feel like in return you should.
That's what I'm
back.
Saying. You're stripping away something that is a huge part of people's lives, but then like compensating it with what exactly, right? And like the internet is a bad place. Yes, you know, a lot of things go unregulated. Yes, those are big problems that we have in society. I just don't know if solutions like this fix the actual problem, you know? And it's rich to think that cyberbullying only happens on Instagram and Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cyberbullying will happen
in the most random corners of the internet, whether it's like a comment section on a random web post. I mean, we've seen it ourselves. We'll get like random messages coming to us from like all different avenues.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, you can't really avoid the hate. You can't mask that. So like, what are you trying to offer in replacement that's going to, you know, tackle that?
Like, are we looking at the real problems here or not, you know? And the third con being, I don't think this ban really prevents people under 16 to be on the internet, though. They can still be exposed to the internet through their parents and through content creators and all that. They just don't have an account, but they're still exposed to other people on the internet. So I don't know how I feel about that. So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, very keen to see how it pans out.
I would love to end this episode with on a lighter note, which is Dilpre, do you remember your first username on Instagram, Snapchat, one of these platforms?
Oh my god, I was obsessed with the phrase Shake D World. That was my first email address as well. And the is like D, like letter D, because Dilpre. Do you get it? Shake D World.
It wasn't even like D-E.
No,
D-A.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That's kind of creative.
Oh, I like
that.
I think that must have been my first handle, Shake the World. What was yours?
My first Instagram username was blue_kitty147.
Blue kitty
147. Because I like the color blue. I like cats. And I like the number 14 as
a baby.
And I put the underscore there for like a little like.
So innocent.
Yeah.
Blue kitty.
Yeah. And to pair this, we'll put this in the reel that will be posted to our Instagram. If we do edit this in, Dilpre, you can edit this out in the podcast if you want. I will expose myself. I will have to go into my archive and show. All right. So if you wanted to know what 13-year-old, 14-year-old Taylor was actually doing on Instagram.
Oh, it's red beard, isn't it?
Yeah. We're going to go through. Oh, I'm going to use this opportunity very quickly. So if you want to see, it was a happy birthday message to Ranbir. Because, duh, what else were you doing at that age? and haha. All right. Okay, I can't read all of this out because it's really long. But the first...
oh, jeez.
Happy 31st birthday to this hunk of a man. Tagged him 3 times in it, and it's a full essay. So, yeah, if you...
Give us something.
Okay. I can't say.
Oh, what are you saying, Blue Kitty?
After falling in love with you in Band Baja Bharat, I knew that you'd become a star.
Oh, my God.
You've accomplished so much, like taking on 7 lead roles, I think, in brackets. Being nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role several times and, of course, winning last year for Bajiramaswamy. That was so long ago. I don't think anybody else could have taken on a role like that, that I still stand by, and create a masterpiece of a movie that he is not credited to. I don't credit him anymore for that. If you see this... Being a massive fan, I would like to say thank you for bringing a breath of fresh air to our screens and being an inspiration.
Wow. You love him.
Yeah. I used to delete all my posts. So that's like just what I have in the archive. I think there's posts I go back. But I thought I'd expose myself because I feel like, I don't know if kids these days are still saying happy birthday to their favorite actors.
Oh.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ranbir, for July 6th next year.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Share with us your feelings because we are honestly a bit like dicey on the topic, which means it's a great topic. So we would love to hear from you guys. What do you think? Will this work? Will this not? If any parents are listening who have kids under 16, is this a sigh of relief or are you just stressed because now you have to talk to your kids? What's going on?
We wish parents and under 16s all the best. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to continue the conversation, check us out on Instagram at SBS Spice. We'll be back soon with more conversations that keep the spice going. This is Suhaila.
This is Dilpreet. See you soon.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.